Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines of Sunday, March the 2nd. From his hospital bedroom, Pope Francis urges continued prayers for peace. Amidst ongoing fighting in Ukraine, European and NATO leaders come together in London to discuss peace plans. And the incoming Archbishop of Washington, D.C. comments on the Pope's recent letter to the U.S. bishops on migration, saying that it aims to highlight the inalienable dignity of the human person. In the Vatican, I'm Joseph Tullock. This morning, the Holy See Press Office reported that the Pope is still resting following a peaceful night. Pope Francis later had breakfast, coffee and read the newspapers. Speaking to journalists at just after 12 p.m. Rome time on Sunday, the director of the Holy See Press Office, Matteo Bruni, confirmed that Pope Francis this morning held a meeting with the Cardinal Secretary of State, Pietro Parolin. Yesterday evening, the press office had informed journalists that the Pope's medical condition had remained stable over the past 24 hours. It said that the Pope was undergoing respiratory physiotherapy, alternating between non-invasive mechanical ventilation and long periods of supplemental high-flow oxygenation. The statement yesterday evening also noted that the Pope does not have a fever or show any signs of having a high white blood cell count. As today is Sunday, the Pope would normally read a message following the noonday recitation of the Angelus prayer. His current health permission makes that impossible, but the Pope did prepare a written message. Francesca Merlo has this report on what the Pope had to say.
In his Angelus address, while receiving treatment in hospital, Pope Francis thanked the faithful for their continued support during his time of frailty, and he urged continued prayers for peace, particularly in Ukraine, Palestine, Israel, Lebanon, Myanmar, Sudan and Kivu. From here, war appears even more absurd, he said. The Pope expressed gratitude to the doctors and healthcare professionals for their care and reflected on the hidden grace within his illness. He said, "In these moments we learn to trust in the Lord," adding that he thanks God for the opportunity to share the condition of so many suffering people. The Pope conveyed his deep appreciation for the prayers of the faithful, noting that he feels carried and supported by all God's people. Before reflecting on the day's gospel, the Pope assured the faithful of his prayers for them. Turning then to the Gospel, the Pope invited meditation on two senses, sight and taste. Regarding sight, he explained that Jesus asks us to train our eyes to observe the world and to judge others with charity. If it is not fraternal, it is not correction, he said, adding that care and not condemnation makes fraternal correction virtuous. Speaking then of taste, the Pope recalled Jesus' teaching that every tree is known by its fruit. He compared the rotten fruits of violent, false and vulgar words with the good fruits of just and honest words that enrich dialogue. He explained that true Christian words nourish and build up the community and create harmony and mutual respect. Finally, with these two thoughts in mind, the Pope encouraged the faithful to examine their lives and ask themselves, how do I look at others and how do I feel looked at? Do my words have a good flavour or are they bitter and vain? I'm Francesca Merlo.
We heard there about the Pope's prayers for Palestine. Nathan Morley has the latest on the situation on the ground there, where Israel has accepted a US proposal for a temporary ceasefire in Gaza for the Ramadan and Passover holidays.
The Muslim holy month of Ramadan began on Friday and will last until March the 30th, whilst the Jewish Passover week will be observed from April the 12th until the 20th. According to the proposal by the US Special Envoy to the Middle East, Stephen Witkoff, the first day of the extended ceasefire would see the return of about half of the 59 living and deceased Israeli hostages held by Hamas in Gaza. If a permanent ceasefire agreement is reached at the end of the ceasefire period, the remaining hostages will be released. The statement mentioned that Witkoff suggested extending the ceasefire as he believed more time was needed for talks on a permanent ceasefire given the current difficulty in bridging the parties' positions. The statement added that while Israel had agreed to the Witkoff outline to return hostages, Hamas had so far refused to accept the outline. Meanwhile, earlier this week, the United Nations highlighted the escalating violence in the West Bank, stating that ordinary Palestinians are suffering the most. Philip Lazzarini, the Commissioner General of the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees in the Near East, known as UNRWA, stated on social media that 50 people, including children, have reportedly been killed since Israeli forces' large-scale operation began some 5 weeks ago. Mr. Lazzarini reported that public infrastructure had been destroyed, roads bulldozed and access restricted. Approximately 40,000 people have been forced to flee their homes. He added that more than 5,000 children who normally attend UNRWA schools have been deprived of education, some for over 10 weeks. Patients cannot access healthcare, families are cut off from water, electricity and other basic services. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
As we heard earlier from Francesca, the Pope also appealed today for peace in Ukraine. That appeal comes amid fresh reports of fighting in the war-torn nation. Stefan Boss reports that the clashes have had a huge impact on the local population, prompting European and NATO alliance leaders to discuss the prospects for a peace plan in London on Sunday, that's today.
Pope Francis prayed for peace while many in Ukraine longed for an end to the war. Evelyn, a 23-year-old pharmacist in the city of Grivniri, told me that she lives with her parents now because she is, in her words, scared to be alone because of the war. She recalled being awakened at night by drones and missiles flying into residential buildings, adding, "It's scary and very loud," as such attacks killed at least one and injured five in her area in recent days. She still hopes to start a family one day and live in a peaceful nation that is often prayed for by Pope Francis. Her views are shared by authorities, who said that since Saturday, Russian strikes around Ukraine killed one person and wounded 19. The areas targeted reportedly included the southern Odessa region, where a Russian missile struck port facilities in the city of Odessa, damaging infrastructure and a Panamanian flag vessel belonging to a European company. However, most casualties are at the front lines, resembling the trench-by-trench fighting of World War I, often impacting people whose lives had just begun. Moscow claimed Sunday to have seized two more villages in eastern Ukraine as Russian forces captured Sutne and Burlatske in the south of the eastern Donetsk region. In London, the leading European Union countries and NATO military alliance allies, Canada, Norway and Turkey, attend a historic security summit focusing on Ukraine's and Europe's security. British Prime Minister Keir Starmer hasn't given up hope.
We had quite a long time with President Zelensky, then President Macron and President Trump on the phone. We've now agreed that the United Kingdom, along with France and possibly one or two others, will work with Ukraine on a plan to stop the fighting, and then we'll discuss that plan with the United States.
For Vatican Radio, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
Now moving over to the US, American Cardinal Robert McElroy will soon be arriving in the leaving the Diocese of San Diego to take up the role of Archbishop of Washington. Before his departure, the Cardinal held a press conference with local journalists and responded to questions on various topics. One of those was the Pope's recent letter to the US bishops on the subject of migration. Cardinal McElroy explained that the Pope, in his message to them, wanted to underscore the central importance of human dignity. Here's what he had to say.
The Pope wrote a letter to the bishops of the United States recently on the whole question, and he took what I think is the essential stance, the really important point, and he was right to focus on it. What he said is happening in our country is that Catholic teaching says a country has a right to control its borders. That's true in Catholic teaching, and that's a legitimate objective to pursue, as long as it's done with dignity for people. But what's going on now is a wider cultural attack upon all those who are undocumented, those who came to this country without proper papers, many of them fleeing persecution or violence, many of them having terrible economic situations they're fleeing. So what he said, the primary problem is what's going on in our society is there's an effort to classify all of these people as criminals. All right. Now, when you classify people as criminals, then that casts them as the other. as different and thus needing different treatment and not having the same dignity. And so the Pope was saying, our first understanding of people has to be that we are all brothers and sisters first. And the notion, when I was a priest and giving talks in different places on immigration over the years, I would usually ask the question once. I'd say, all right, everyone here who has never broken the law, please raise your hand. And each place, there would be about two people who would raise their hand. They'd always be men, I have to say. Two guys would raise their hand. And then their wives would haul the head down over time because, you know, so it's a prism of dehumanizing people to take all of these people who come here for various reasons, some of them coming as kids, and to say, these are all the criminal class. It's a falsity. It's a moral falsity. And so he said, that's where we have to begin, by rejecting that kind of approach to looking at what is the problem, to look at what are the real problems posed by immigration and how do we deal with them, including securing the border, but not dehumanizing people by casting them all as criminals.
Cardinal McElroy speaking there. He was also asked about the church's role in modern society. Here's what he had to say on that subject.
I think the church's role is to be a witness in this current moment, because the church's role was not to solve political problems or even to solve policy problems. That's not our role. The church has no specifically political role in the public order. It has rather a moral role to comment on policies and to comment on directions in society in light of the gospel of Jesus Christ and Catholic teaching. And so that is what our role should be, and I think that's what it will be during this period of time, because we're in a moment of great tumult in our country. Things are being turned upside down in so many ways, and that's true in the world as a whole. And so this is a moment when we really have to grapple with, what does it mean in our society to be a compassionate society, for example? What does it mean to really say we believe in the equal dignity of every human person? And how do we live that out? Those are the areas of witness that I think the church is called to bring, and sometimes to bring with specific focus in the discussions we're having now. Because we are at a turning point moment in the history of our country. And so the church is desires to make sure that in that discussion and in that formation of policy and direction, the witness of the gospel is present there.
That was U.S. Cardinal Robert McElroy speaking there to journalists in San Diego at his farewell news conference on last Thursday. He'll be leaving soon to head the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C. That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, and in particular for updates on the Pope's health, you can visit our website at www.vaticannews.va. You can also get all the latest updates on our Facebook, X and Instagram pages. Just search Vatican News. We're trying to bring out, almost as soon as they come out, the updates on the Pope's health. Many thanks go to Gabriele Di Domenico in the studio in the Vatican. I'm Joseph Tullock. Goodbye.